You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Christians demonstrate a growing understanding of the gospel and everything it implies. Find out more about this truth in week 4 of our series, Forward.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers this afternoon. If you're sitting beside a mom, please kindly greet them. Give them a tap on the back. If you are new here, I'm Kin and I'm one of the pastors here. Now, who among you were with us for the past 3 weeks? We all know that we have embarked in a new series called Forward. For the first week, we talk about spiritual disciplines. By the way, Forward, in this series, we basically talk about how, as a believer of Jesus Christ, we should keep moving forward. That in our walk with God, we don't need to be stuck in one area of our life. That we should keep moving forward. As Jesus Christ had commanded us to keep moving forward. And in the first week, we talk about spiritual disciplines. We are talking about qualities of a disciple that will help us keep moving forward. As a believer, we should live a lifestyle of devotion. That as a believer, our number one priority should be our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That each and every day, we should remind ourselves of what the Bible is telling us to do, the scriptures for that matter. In week 2, we talk about essential doctrines. Now, there are a lot of doctrines that are written in the Bible, but we primarily talk about the scriptures, how the scripture is so necessary in our Christian life, that the scripture is clear. It doesn't give us confusion. The scripture also has authority, and the scripture is sufficient for Christian living. Week 3, Martin talked about life change, that as a believer, we should live a life that is conforming to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we continue to live day by day, the evidence of a changed life in us would be seen by people. So as believers, we need to set ourselves apart from the world and be set apart for God's only purpose, for the glory and praise of His name. So in this series, we are looking at the life of Peter. Who among you knows Peter? Ihang name, he used to be Simon, but Jesus Christ called him Peter. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 4, we can see from there the life transformation of not just Peter, but also his brother Andrew. They were ordinary fishermen, but Jesus Christ called them. Jesus Christ said in verse 19, chapter 4, verse 19 in Matthew, "Come, follow me." And immediately they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. As an ordinary fisherman, the Lord Jesus Christ promised them that they would become fishers of men. From fishing for fish, they will now becoming fishers of people. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ for them. Upon following Jesus, Peter had 3 years to understand and figure out what it means to be a fisher of men. But Peter never fully understood what it meant to be fishers of men. If you know Peter, he was the aggressive one. He was the impulsive one. A lot of times, Peter receives a lot of rebukes and corrections from the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see from Peter's life and we can learn yet another quality of a disciple looking at the life of Peter. That as a disciple, the first step to fishing for men is understanding the gospel itself. Now, the old saying goes, we can't give what we don't have, and certainly we cannot pass on what we do not understand. Tama ba? We cannot pass on what we cannot understand. The gospel is like a mathematical formula. If you don't understand the formula, you will never get to the right conclusion. You will never get to answer the problem correctly. Now, understanding the gospel means that as a believer, we demonstrate a growing knowledge of the gospel and the implication of what we believe on how we live. Meaning to say, as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the gospel, we'll be seeing a transformation in our life. That ultimately, the gospel will affect how we live our life, even in this wicked generation. Why do we need to grow in understanding? Because we can't figure all out at once. I do believe many of us, we somehow got confused. That's why we need to learn, we need to study, we need to understand more. What is this gospel all about? As we understand the gospel, slowly by slowly, it leads us to progress. And progress leads us to fullness. At the end, we'll come to a realization that we are already Christ-like. Now, what we believe should affect how we live. Tama ba? What we believe will ultimately affect how we live our life. I believe that I love my wife. That my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. Every day, I get to appreciate that fact. I get to appreciate that beauty. I get to love my wife more and more each day. Because that's what I believe. Ultimately, what we believe will affect how we live our life. Just an illustration. So I'm going to use Carlo as part of my illustration. That is a bro. Assuming Carlo doesn't know how to drive, but God is just so good, God gave Carlo or blessed Carlo a car. Just like this one. So beautiful, right? But Carlo doesn't know how to drive. For Carlo, yes, the car is so beautiful, but he doesn't fully understand how the car would work. So having a car, for that matter, doesn't necessarily make Carlo a good driver because he doesn't have any experience of driving. So what Carlo would need to do is to get inside the car, learn the mechanics of the car, how it works, and not just that, he needs also to learn or to train how to drive. And apart from training how to drive or learning how to drive, he needs to also know the rules, traffic rules and regulation for Carlo to become a good driver, right? Thank you, bro. The gospel is somewhat like that. At plain sight, the car is so beautiful. At plain sight, the gospel is so beautiful. But there's more to it than that. When you enter the car, napaday siya yung mga small things that you need to understand. How to use the accelerator, how to use shifting gear. For that matter. So there's more to it than what we see outside. It looks so beautiful, but when you get to appreciate what's inside, it's even more beautiful. The gospel is like that. You see the car as it is, but once you get inside, there is more to it than what we can see when we're outside. For the married couples, who among us are married here? Married and happily married, right? So we are all happily married here. When you marry your wife or your spouse, there's so many things that you don't yet know about your wife. The moment you live together, each and every day, something is revealed. And when something is revealed from your eyes, from your senses, you get to appreciate your spouse more. Tama ba? We get to appreciate, we get to love them all the more each day because each and every day, there's something new na imong nabalan about your spouse. It's the same way with the gospel. The gospel is somewhat like that. At plain sight, it may look like it's just a message of salvation. Now, this is just all about salvation. But when we dig deeper through the scriptures, we would realize that there's something more to it. It's not just the message of salvation. That when we dig deeper, we get to realize that the gospel in itself is not something, but it's someone. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, because Jesus Christ is a person, we get to live with Him daily so that we will be able to fully understand and get to appreciate who He is in our life. If you're not living with someone, you won't really get to know that person deeper. If naa kay roommate, you would get to realize na mas kaila ko aning tawhana karon before paminahin mong roommate. Because you get to see a different aspect or area of that person's life. The gospel is somewhat like that. Now, what is the gospel? What is the gospel, by the way? Many times, people would ask, what really is the gospel? According to Pastor Rice Brooks, the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving that He is the Son of God. And offering the free gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in Him. What a pretty good summary of the gospel. So simple, everybody understands. But there's more to it than what meets our eye. So today we're looking at how Peter, in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, how he described Jesus Christ, or how we understand the gospel, for that matter, Right? So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 41. Verse 36 tells us, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall I do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 39, "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. In chapter 2, Peter was giving a sermon to the people who were gathered with them, with the apostles. Now, it was the time of Pentecost, and the Bible says they were in one place. It doesn't say where, but they were in one place. And together with the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ, they were also devout men from other areas. The Bible says from every nation, meaning to say from Victory na sila, every nation, right? So there are devout men from every nation who were there gathered together with them. So as the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were able to speak in tongues. They received the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And as they speak in tongues, people from different nations were able to understand. And they were amazed and they marveled that how is this Galileans speaking our own language? How is it that I understand what they are speaking? Isn't it that they are just fishermen? They were uneducated, but they were able to understand what the apostles were saying. They were able to speak in tongues. Many people marveled, but there are also a group of people who were mocking the apostles, the early disciples. They were saying that you are just drunk with wine. But Peter, in his boldness, stood up and delivered a powerful sermon. He defended the apostles, the 12 disciples, and shared that it is only 9 in the morning. How can they be drunk? So he delivered a sermon. Let's look at the sermon of Peter. I'm going to start with verse 36. The question is, how then did Peter understand the gospel? Because he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, how did he understand the gospel? In verse 36, it says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Let's take a look at this one, both Lord and Christ. Peter understood that Jesus Christ was Lord and Christ. Why did he understand that Jesus Christ was Lord and Christ? We're going to talk about that later. But let's take into consideration that during their time, when you say a person is Lord, it's somewhat like the person is at par with God himself. It was blasphemy for that matter, for many Jews. Let's put ourselves in their place. Peter was standing in front of multitude, thousands, and most of them are Jews. Most of them are devout men, meaning to say they understood pretty well the first 5 books of the Bible. They know the Old Testament. But Peter right there is so bold in proclaiming that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Jesus Christ didn't even say, "I am Lord," but he was crucified. How much more Peter? Just imagine, Jesus Christ didn't proclaim that he was Lord, and yet he was crucified because he was blaspheming God. But here, Peter is proclaiming Jesus Christ to be Lord. Imagine the gravity of it. Peter could have been hanged on the cross just like Jesus Christ for proclaiming that Jesus Christ was Lord. So what does it imply that Jesus Christ is Lord? Lord means king, master, or the one who calls the shot, the one who makes the decision. Because Jesus is Lord, we are to submit, obey, and worship him. In the olden times, they worshiped their king. They wouldn't even look at their king in the eyes because it's disrespecting the king. So they need to kneel down and bow before the king. And the same thing, when we understand that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is someone who is to be worshipped. Jesus is someone that needs to be obeyed. Jesus is someone that we should submit our life to. For the Jews, they understand it very well, that when you say Lord, it means someone to be worshipped, just like God. For the Gentiles, it might be that their understanding is that someone is Lord, it means to say, Lord over me, it means to say that I might be a slave of this someone. So I still need to obey whatever he commands me to do. But unlike kings, tyrant kings who rule the earth, that his people would die for him, this king, this Lord, is kind of different. This king is someone who died for his people. How amazing is that? A king dying for his people. Not just any kind of people, but sinful, disobedient, rebellious people. That's the kind of Lord or King Jesus Christ is. He is willing to die and sacrifice himself for his people. That's how Peter understood the Lord Jesus Christ. Savior, because Jesus is Lord, we have an eternal hope. Meaning to say, our salvation is secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, meaning to say, our hope is living. Jesus Christ ascended from heaven, meaning to say, our hope is eternal. It has been sealed the moment Jesus Christ died and ascended into heaven. Died on the cross and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. Our salvation is hinged on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a living hope. Many of us will fall in submitting to our lives to Jesus Christ. Many of us would succumb to temptation. But that doesn't mean that our salvation would be taken away from us. Because salvation is not because of our performance. It's not because of how good we are. But salvation is primarily hinged on what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. The moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our salvation is secured. We have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36 also, we can note here that he said, let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain. What does it mean when we say know for certain? It means to say we are so sure of what we are saying. It means to say that this is the truth. This is true and correct. That's how to know for certain means. Let's take a look at, this is Peter. This is Peter who is saying all of these things. And if you know Peter, he was the one who doubted the Lord Jesus Christ. When he walked on water, when he was out there in the middle of the sea, the moment the storm or the wind blew, he doubted the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how the International Standard Version puts it. Therefore, let all the people of Israel understand beyond a doubt. Beyond a doubt. This is coming from someone who was doubtful of the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning. Peter is also someone who didn't just doubt the Lord Jesus Christ, but also Peter was the one who denied Jesus Christ. He didn't just deny Jesus Christ once, not twice, but thrice. He denied Jesus Christ thrice in his life. But now, he is telling everyone, believe without a doubt that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. Why was Peter able to say with all confidence and boldness that Jesus Christ was Lord and Christ? Let's take a look at verse 16. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Can you spot something here? Peter was about to quote something from the Old Testament. Meaning to say, Peter knew the scripture. He was reading his Bible. He was so sure of who Jesus Christ is, being the Lord and Christ, because he knew the scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 25, he also said, he is now quoting from Psalm 16, verse 8. It said, for David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. It was like saying that, I know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Christ because it has been written in the scripture. And it isn't just written, you know it for a fact that it is truth. Because you, Jews and devout men, you know your scriptures. Those who were listening knew the scripture. Peter was just emphasizing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Christ because it has been written. It has been prophesied long ago that Jesus Christ would come to be the Lord and Christ. Peter was able to stand firm and was bold enough to face even the opposition because he knew the truth from the scripture. The same way with us, if we know the truth of the scripture, we will not be shaken. No matter how strong the storm may come, if we know the word of God, the promises of God for our life, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken if we knew the scripture. In our days, a lot of us are into healthy living. Ako, I am into running to keep my body healthy. So a lot of us want to be healthy. But a lot of times, we forget that our spirit as well needs to be healthy. Same with our physical body. To be healthy, we take a lot of exercise. We even take a lot of vitamins for that matter. Talking about vitamins, when we look for vitamins, we want something that is complete, like Centrum, complete from A to Zinc. In just one capsule or tablet, we want na completo na, complete. There's these vitamins called V-complex. All the B vitamins are there. Vitamin B. Our body needs vitamin B. Our soul, our spirit also needs vitamin B. And you know what that vitamin B is? The Bible. Vitamin B, vitamin Bible. It's complete. 66 nutrients. 39 from the Old Testament, 27 from the New Testament. Complete from Genesis to Revelation to feed our spirit. So we don't just keep our body strong and healthy, physical body strong and healthy. We need also to keep our spirit and soul healthy. We have to have a daily diet of the scripture and daily exercise with the scripture for our spirit to be healthy. So the scripture is very important. Now, if you know your scripture, and as believers, I do know na there will be times that we will commit mistakes, we will somehow fall into temptation. As a believer, even if we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will still commit sin. The sin that we commit, the devil will use it against us. Devil will inject lies in our mind na, oh, John, you've done this filthy, dirty thing, and you still claim to be a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ? You think you're saved? I don't think so. You're not saved because you did this awful thing. But if you know your scripture, you can look the devil in the eye and quote Ephesians 2:8. For by grace I have been saved. It is the gift of God for me, not by works, so that I cannot boast. And you can even tell the devil, in Christ there is no condemnation. In Christ there is forgiveness of sin. If you know your scripture, you will be able to attack the enemy. You will know and learn to filter things that are coming inside your head. If you know your scripture. Acts chapter 2 verse 24. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Meaning to say, 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Death could not hold him. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says here, he, pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He presented himself alive to them. What is my point here? My point here is simple. As a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will come a point into our life that we will encounter the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We will ultimately encounter the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We will have a personal encounter of who Jesus Christ is in our life. Personal encounter is personal, right? Let's look at the story of Paul on the road to Damascus. This is someone who had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As you all know, Paul was the persecutor of the Christians, early Christians. And let's take a look at this account. Verse 3. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Paul had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that personal encounter, his life was never the same again. He used to persecute the Christians, but now he is for the Christians. He used to persecute those who are proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he is proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He has become the greatest apostle of all time. Why is that? It's all because of a personal encounter. One personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ will transform your life. You will never be the same again. It's like this. Someone is out jogging in the street early morning. Wala siya kabantay. There was this big truck that hit him. Can you imagine? Will he be the same again? If ikaw maigo ani, you're hit by a truck 100 miles per hour or kilometers per hour, will you be the same again? The gospel is like this. When the gospel would hit you by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life will never be the same again. When you will have a personal encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be so powerful that you will never be the same again. Your old habits, your old ways, your old character, your old self, you will never be the same again. You will never go back to your old self because of that one personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even just one encounter, you will never be the same again. Peter was able to say with all confidence and boldness that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior because he knew the scriptures and he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the time of the Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit manifested. In verse 37, it says, Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. The people were cut to the heart. Those who were listening were cut to the heart. In other translation, it says, pierce through the heart. Cut to the heart is a good way of describing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicting those people who were listening. They understood that it was because of them that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. They understood that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior, yet they had him on the cross. The Holy Spirit convicted them. And because of that conviction, they understood that they need to do something. They now knew they were responsible for the death of Jesus as each one of us are responsible. The sins that we have is the one responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter somehow had little experience about cutting. Now, if you could remember when Jesus Christ was arrested, he cut the ear of one of the men who arrested the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was Peter in the flesh, cutting another flesh, right? But right now, this is a different kind of Peter. This is the same Peter that is cutting, but not anymore cutting the flesh. This is Peter cutting, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the hearts of the people who were listening. Cutting open the hearts of the people so that the gospel could be preached or could enter the hearts of the people. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it opens our heart for the gospel, to receive the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Conviction, in its meaning, the act of proving that a person is guilty. Now, who among you understand that when we read the Bible, we can be convicted by the Holy Spirit? And another meaning is that the feeling of being sure that what you believe or say is true. Who among you have that conviction as well? That because I know that Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I will never back down on my faith. Now that's another type of conviction. And it's the same thing. We can have that conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. They now knew that they were responsible for the death of Jesus and that they had to do something. One amazing thing in these verses is that Peter never offered any response from the people. But the people themselves asked, what do we need to do? In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were asking Peter and the apostles kung unsa ilahang pwedeng buhaton. Because of the Holy Spirit convicting them, they were now asking, what should I do? Because I was the one responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What should I do? What should we do as a believer? Peter said in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. With the understanding of the scripture and by the power of the personal encounter that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will ultimately lead us to repentance. We would understand that we are sinful before the Lord Jesus Christ and we need to do something. We need to repent from all of our sins, from the sins that we have committed. Repentance demands that we turn away from sin and turn to God. And when we do, He is ready to forgive and receive us. All right? Repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. Before, you were going in this direction, but because you understand the scripture, you had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, now you're turning away from that road and turn to God instead. Repentance would lead us to forgiveness of our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to forgive us. And when we repent, He is ready to forgive and receive us back no matter how far and how long we have been away from Him. And because God has forgiven us, it is also equally important that we should also learn how to dispense forgiveness to people. Dispensing forgiveness. One of the challenges of a believer is to dispense forgiveness. Because we have been hurt so much by these people, this group of people, it's so difficult for us to dispense forgiveness. But when we understood the scripture, when we understood the gospel, how the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself for us just to offer forgiveness to us, we would come to realize that forgiveness is not based on emotion. It's based on a decision because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He has forgiven us. Who are we not to forgive our brothers as well? He is faithful. The gospel is good news because it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ has already covered our past. The blood that He shed on the cross got us covered. The gospel also tells us there's a hope for us. There's a hope for someone who is asking to have a second chance. For those of us who ever wish there could be another chance, this is our hope. The gospel is our hope. God is offering us a new life. Not just any kind of life, a new life with Him. A new life that we can enjoy together with our Savior, together with our Lord. And lastly, the good news is that it tells us that God has secured our future. Our future has been saved. Our future has been sealed. There's no question about our salvation when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the power of the gospel, if you think your life doesn't have any hope today, the gospel, just allow the gospel to permeate in your hearts, and you will see that God will be able to transform you. God will be able to change your heart. The bitterness, the unforgiveness that you have inside of you, that you think na dili na ni siya mawala, this will be here forever. Allow the gospel, allow the Lord Jesus Christ to touch your heart, and you will understand na man, dili dai siya lisod. If I just allow the Lord Jesus Christ to change me. All we have to do is give an open arms for the gospel and allow Jesus Christ to touch our heart, transform our lives. I do believe each and every one of us here has something in our hearts, something that we knew that is not pleasing to God. And we are struggling. We're struggling to give it up. Some of us are struggling with a sinful pattern in our life that we think, Lord, ngano mani? Why is this happening to me? I surrendered my life to you, yet I still keep on doing this sin. Lord Jesus Christ, help me. But with the gospel, you would realize that the reason why we are suffering with this sin is because we are gospel deficient. We have not been feeding ourselves with the gospel. We have not been taking in that vitamin B in ourselves, in our lives. Every day we miss out to take that daily dose of vitamin B. The gospel and the Holy Spirit would make us realize that if we just study the scripture, know the scripture, always pray and ask God for a fresh amount of encounter with Him, we would realize that we would remain firm, strong, and steadfast in our faith. That even when we have problems, we would remain in the faith because we know the truth that is in the scriptures. We know that Jesus Christ will be Lord over our lives, that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ would be our banner of victory. Jesus Christ is our banner of victory. As believers, let us always remember scripture, encounter with God, repentance, forgiveness. That is all in the name of Jesus.